It's spring with its beautiful daffodils, tulips, and forsythia blossoming all over, and our spring rains watering our seeds that are just beginning to be planted. So here we are. But guess what else we're doing? We're shaking off the winter, and we're looking at ourselves, we're looking at our energy, and we're looking at our bodies. And this has been a particularly tough year with COVID. So we looked into our archives and we pulled out a show that could help us bounce forward in energy and get rid of that COVID-25, as they call it. So this is an encore recording, the best of the best, and we'll be back next week. Enjoy, listen, learn, and enjoy. Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and I'm Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant. And are you ready to dance in the sun? Boy, that music sounds like dancing in the sun music. But wait an hour, because we have a show for you. And every week I present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, I give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. And keeping with that tradition, today the show has multiple spokes, but we're going to begin with a very special segment that I'm going to repeat over and over throughout the year. It began with that when I was on a discussion talking about eating and talking about good food. One of the panelists on the discussion said, well, poor people can't eat well. They can't afford to. So I was a bit taken aback, because knowing that we were quite poor when we were young, quite poor, I could go into many stories about that, but this isn't about me. And we ate well. We thought we were kings when we sat down at the table. And we ate well. So I was talking with a friend and my favorite chef, Michael Morato, up in Connecticut at the restaurant Bin 30 World Bistro in Walcott, Connecticut. That's Bin 30 World Bistro in Walcott, Connecticut. And I told him, I said, you know, we were poor, we ate well. And he said, well, most of the large portion of the foods that I serve here are very reasonable to make and very delicious. I said, would you help me out, please? And he said, it would be my pleasure. Now, you have to let me give you a little history. He was an Iron Chef. He was an Iron Chef on the show and one of the winners, as I understand. So I gave him an assignment. I want it delicious. I want it fast. I want it cheap. I want it easy to prepare, practical and nutritious. I want it seasonal. I want it low glycemic index. No wheat, no sugar, no dairy. Can you do this? Michael Morato, welcome. Can you do this?
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Help me out here. I gave you an assignment.
And I love it. And I love when you throw things my way in this manner, I tell you what. But this is the best time of year. I mean, we've got farmers markets everywhere. What an abundance of sun we have this season, which is just making everything so flavorful and so nutritious. I was just recently at a a farmer's market, and everything was jumping at me. And when you had called me for this task, I said, what can I say? What can I say to keep it simple and also on that low glycemic level? And I had a cucumber from this stand that was just so mouthwatering and so refreshing. And it was such a hot day, and it was just perfect. And I tell you what, I was thinking about something that my grandmother had made for me. And my grandfather, until he passed away in his mid-80s, he still had a garden, and he always had cucumbers, he always had tomatoes, and he always had basil. What a combination for fresh and nutritious.
We grow those on the back porch very often.
Isn't that great?
You don't need a large garden to grow those.
You certainly do not, and that's the beauty of it. So I was thinking of a nice, fresh summer salad that you can even substitute as a main dish, maybe for lunch. Can I present it to you now?
Oh, I would very much appreciate it.
Very nice. Well, very simply, take some nice vine-ripened tomatoes, which are just about coming into season. Take a fresh cucumber, rinse them both off, cut them into 1-inch cubes. I love to add a little bit of protein to the dish, so some beans, garbanzo beans, would be a great combination with this. As always, I'm Italian. We like a little garlic in everything. A little fresh garlic, a little bit of red onion. Of course, there's got to be some basil in there. And all you really need is a little salt, a little pepper, and some extra virgin oil. I put a touch of red wine vinegar in there just for some acidity. Now, you can eat it just like that. What I like to do, and what my grandmother always showed me, is just cover it up, put it in the fridge for maybe an hour. And once that happens, all the flavors start to release. And everything just comes together in harmony, and that is the best way to eat it, I tell you what.
Nice and cool. You don't have to be a professional chef to do this?
Absolutely not. It's so simple that it's scary.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Kids love it. Adults love it. It's healthy. And you know what? If you are not growing your own vegetables, these vegetables are readily available at the corner stands. And then if you get them from the corner stands, what you do is you bring them home, you fill your sink with a bunch of cold water, throw in some white vinegar, let it soak for a few minutes, and then prepare the meal. So you've cleaned it off. You've cleaned it off from any soot and any pesticides, and you have a delicious meal. My goodness, what's better than a New York or New Jersey tomato?
Absolutely nothing, I tell you.
So will you send, now you have a website.
I sure do. BinBin300.com, and that's the name of my restaurant here in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. And will this recipe be there, or are you going to send it to me and I'll put it up on my website?
I'll send it to you. This way your guests are already kind of going towards your website, and then by the end of the day, I'll very likely have it on my website also.
Very good. I'm going to put it on my Facebook rather than my website.
Perfect.
And that's just wonderful. I love it. So we can be healthy. It can be delicious. It can be easy. The kids can even help participate. We always used to participate in preparing the meals with my mother, so the kids can participate. You know, they can sit there, and you can sit there watching their hands as they... I peel the cucumbers. Do you?
Absolutely. I leave some skin on.
Yes, I leave
a little
green line.
A little stripe in between. Have a little bit of green, a little bit of the peeled. You can take it off. You can leave it on. I mean, you have a good amount of fiber and skin. I mean, it's definitely nice to keep it on, at least some of it.
Thank you, Richard Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
and your website again?
Bin300.com.
Okay, and say hello to your dad, and when we're up there, we'll say hello?
I certainly will, and it's always a pleasure, and I look forward to cooking for you again next time.
Ooh. Well, this dish, you might not have to cook for me. It's simple. I can do it myself.
Absolutely. We'll come see me for maybe some risotto. You know, that's my specialty.
Now, you got to have a little experience with.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Enjoy the sun. So that was Richard Michael Marotto. He's chef. And we are going to continue in this series building wonderful seasonal, low glycemic, easy to prepare healthy foods that you can make on a budget. on a very reasonable budget, and the entire family will love. So the next thing I really wanted to bring up, a couple of things, is one, the FDA has this week okayed a new diet pill, Kinexa, Q-U-N-E-X-A. And, you know, it seems to be a little bit hard making a weight loss drug that doesn't sicken people. That's quite difficult. Now, this drug also, I'm going to start out with, we've seen this before. We've seen this whole thing before in drugs that have been pulled off the market. This is a mix of phentermine. And phentermine is a amphetamine that was taken off the market as a diet pill. And then formerly they had a mix of phentermine. It was phentermine and a tranquilizer. Well, now they have the mix enfedrin, an amphetamine, and they also have it mixed with a anti-epilepsy drug. So here we go again. The same pattern. What they're doing is revving you up and tranquilizing you. Well, we saw before that this has heart effects. The previous one, Fen-Phen, was pulled off the market. Now, the FDA failed to approve this drug a few years ago because they felt the heart effects were too severe. So to help us understand this, and much more, I've asked Carol Peterson, head pharmacist and a compounding pharmacist, to help us understand this pill and some of the conundrums that we're dealing with in weight loss. Carol?
Hi, I'm here.
Yay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Excellent.
Excellent. What do you think of this new drug?
Well, the net effect is still to decrease your appetite. So it's a drug that's going to induce starvation by tricking your body into thinking it's not hungry. And these starvation situations, why you end up with heart disease is because the heart tissue is cannibalized. You cannibalize some of your muscle mass. And I was just listening to, I think, Dr. Dorst's interview, and he was saying that in the past they were doing images of the heart, and you can actually see the walls of the heart thin as people are doing these starvation diets.
Very interesting. And so that is, and then put that together, you have a thinning of the heart wall, you also have a weakening of the muscle, and then you have an amphetamine speeding everything up.
Right.
Doesn't sound very good for your metabolism, does it?
Certainly doesn't. And in the case of, in the end, your metabolism is bumped down. Your body reacts by decreasing its metabolism when you put it in a starvation mode. So you're effectively making yourself more hypothyroid, lower metabolic rate, and chances are very good that you will just put the weight back on again.
So, Kinexa is not a new drug at all. It's just a mix of two old ones that have not been used or not able to be used for weight loss. They've combined them together.
Right. Probably the new thing is the Topramax portion for epilepsy.
Uh-huh.
And that part is a new combination, but it is being used already. This drug will just put it in the same pill.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, certainly.
It's just a matter of time before it's rejected again, I do believe, because this is a very complex problem. I wanted to speak with you since I have you on the line. You know, you're my go-to person when I have questions on hormones or female balance or whatever. When I have those questions, I contact you. And so I have two patients I literally wanted to speak about today. One was a 55-year-old woman who came into me very frustrated, feeling hopeless, absolutely hopeless. Since menopause, which she had a little bit later than earlier, she really completed menopause at 54, absolutely completed, and the hot flashes were done. She got lucky in that way. She has had this unmanageable fatigue. She exercises 4 times a week, and she's always had good muscle mass. She's not able to build up muscle mass. She's had weight gain that doesn't appear to be related to her diet. She also has chronic, constant bloating, and her waist has become very thick. She always had a slim waist. Her waist has become very thick. She sleeps okay, but for 4 years she didn't. And she's chronically constipated. Now, this is what I see in my office all the time. People who feel that they've been tricked by their body. They're following instructions. They're doing it right, and it's not responding. What do you think about this? I got a few thoughts also, so we can bounce back and forth.
Okay. One of the first things that comes to mind is as you age, your adrenal cortisol levels keep going up, and it's in response to stress. And maybe perhaps in our lifestyle and our environment now, we're being exposed to a lot more stress than ever before. So as the cortisol levels go up and stay high, all during this time, your body's going to be induced into keeping fat reserves. It causes a kind of a low blood sugar situation. You're going to be hungry. You'll want carbohydrates. And the weight is just going to stack right on.
And particularly in the waist, isn't it?
Yes, particularly,
In the waist, under the arms, on the back. And it just sort of builds up till your body becomes more cylinder-like rather than curvy.
Yeah, we're calling that prediabetes now or metabolic syndrome. And the statistics on this is supposed to be that the pre-diabetes and the diabetes is going to be in epidemic proportions. So she's not at all unusual.
No, not at all. And so my first take on this, and let me tell you tell me what you think, is one, I'm looking at her diet, and what I'm finding is a high-carb breakfast. Mm-hmm. Although she eats well throughout the day, she starts her day with a high-carb breakfast. Okay, she starts her day with a bowl of fruit, with oatmeal, a little juice, which are all supposedly breakfast foods, but it's just straight carbs, even though one of them is one of the better carbs. She also, so we've got this setup here that sets the insulin for the day, literally raises it and sets it for the day. We also have bloating, and I really think that she's the constant bloating with everything she's eating. I think she's having difficulty digesting her fats because the bloating goes with the constipation that's been for years and years and years. And so I would really seriously want to look at the gallbladder and work with the liver and the gallbladder and see if we could get her body eliminating, because she's not eliminating. But there's also, there's the weight gain, which is total frustration. And so I really believe that when people, not believe, I see all the time in my office, when people's hormones are up, when their estrogens are low, they gain weight. Haven't you seen that?
Yes, and and their estrogens actually could be relatively high. It's kind of like the Goldilocks situation. You want things to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
And either extreme will set metabolic processes to end up with weight gain. One of the things I was thinking about when you talked about bloating is we just mentioned, a tendency towards yeast in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give yourself a nice carbohydrate breakfast, you give those yeast a feast, and they are going to keep growing out of control while they're being fed with carbohydrates. One consequence, interesting enough, is some yeast organisms bind estrogen, and there are some that will create the exact same estrogen that we make, 17-beta-estradiol. So having this problem in the gut with the bloating is a big signal that there's hormone disarray going on.
Mm-hmm. And not holding muscle, then we're looking at testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a complete picture here. I just loved it. I told her when I heard her, when she was giving me her history, I said, I love your history. She said, but I'm suffering. I said, but it's so visual. It's so perfect. And she said, is there hope? And I said, of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there is. There's going to be transformation. But then I had someone else come in, and this is the person I really wanted to talk with you about. I had a woman, lovely woman, absolutely wonderful. She's again in her late 50s, and she wanted to come with me and work with me on diet, which diet is a very interesting thing. She is overweight, obese, but it's a very interesting thing because most diets, 97% of them or 99% of them, really don't work. People lose weight, then they gain weight. Then they lose weight, then they gain weight. And they don't gain the same amount of weight back. They gain more weight than they lost because their body's protecting them. And what we have here, and we know this, is that the fat that people are carrying is driving a multitude of illnesses. From diabetes to heart disease to increased cancers. These are all well documented. And that when the body loses the fat, what happens? All these risks, diabetes goes down or can be eliminated. Hypertension goes down, can be eliminated. So what we have, a cancer risk shifts. It shifts. And also response to cancer therapy shift. They have a higher response to cancer therapies. So she came in, and she's overweight, and she said that she went to a weight loss doctor and was put on HCG. Well, HCG, human chorionic gonadotropic hormone, I work in my office. I use in my office. It's incredibly successful. Incredibly successful. As a matter of fact, as I'm sitting here, I really can only think of in 4 years one person who was not totally successful. Only one.
And that, why was that?
She dropped out and moved. And so she was halfway into the program and moved, and I wasn't able to guide her. That was very frustrating. So this woman came in, told me that she lost 62 pounds on HCG. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. She said, well, I gained back 58.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how could that be? I've never had a patient like that before. And she said, well, I did the protocol, and then I stopped, and I gained back my weight. So then I just started asking her questions. Did you really go through the protocol? Did you do the maintenance phase? No, I wasn't, And what it brought forth to me was an important part of this HCG phenomena, because there's so much on the internet and so much is, hype and sales and whatever. It's almost frightening for such a good brilliant therapy in the right hands. It's a brilliant therapy. And so she said she never got the guidance in terms of weaning off. And when I go back, I called some of my old patients, people I worked with 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gained 4 pounds back. of 22-pound loss. Another person, well, my mother, 90 years old this year. She lost in the 40 pounds. She had gained 8 pounds back and felt that she was failing. So we started working with her again. And now her weight is down again, and she's feeling great and revitalized and regenerated. And so I wanted to talk about this diet and what it means and what it can do, because this is a real crisis. I have patient after patient after patient walking into my office feeling like their bodies failed them. And on some level, it has. But not really. It's we failed our bodies. Can you extrapolate on this and give us a little better understanding of what I am talking about?
Well, one of the interesting things you brought up is people gaining back some of the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's atypical in a weight loss situation. As I mentioned before, your metabolic rate has decreased in retaliation of your body to a starvation diet. So people tend to gain back more weight.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have had some benefit, even though they feel like they're failing at the moment. They've had benefit from the HCG and long-term benefit. One of the things I've heard as a tip from several people, during the diet, people weigh themselves every day, and it's great fun to watch it go down.
Yes, a pound and a quarter, a half a pound every day.
But that's a habit
straight
you have to
fat.
Keep up with afterwards. You can't go back to eating the way you had been eating to put on a lot of weight with the heavy carbohydrate, high glycemic foods. You've got to cut back on that. You can eat more food afterwards, but you still need to look at the kind of ratio that you've had of proteins and vegetables and fruits. All that is good, but you need to add back fat because you're no longer burning it. And you need to look at the scale every day. And Dr. Simeon's already wrote about what to do if your weight gain is just a couple pounds. You have steak days. You just eat steak and bring your weight back to your target. So if people are coached and helped to be very conscientious about this, this should turn into a long-term weight loss.
Now, and that's what I do. That's what I do in my office. I coach people into long-term weight loss. And what's been happening is I've gotten a group of soldiers. And I've been so happy to be able to work with them. They give so much, and I'm able to give some back, teach them about health, about nutrition. They come back to this country. They're not exercising all the time. There's a degree of letdown. They're having trouble getting jobs. It's very easy to fall into overeating. And I've been working with them to maintain their health. And it has been one of the most satisfying parts of my practice is seeing how they're doing. I had one sergeant. How this started was a sergeant came to me. He said, I've heard about this. I want to do it. I said, okay, let's work together. You have to follow directions. It's a very low-calorie diet. You shouldn't be hungry. You shouldn't be tired. And you don't want to over-exercise. You want to look at your calendar and so that you can make it through this. There are no exceptions. And conceptually, it's not what we understand about weight loss. What we understand about weight loss is we keep on lowering our calories. So if you cut down on what Dr. Simeon's has told you to eat, what will happen is you'll stop weight loss. So we went through all this, and I said, I give them the protocol to read, and then I say, come back, and we'll discuss it. And there will be a quiz, so everybody's always intimidated by that. Oh, you're going to quiz me. Well, they're ready. But they have to understand what they're dealing with because we don't want mistakes. We are literally erasing the set weight. Well, this gentleman, this wonderful gentleman, Sergeant, he only lost 35 pounds, and that was in 38 days. So it was a little. But his waist went from a 42 to a 35, 34. I mean, it was dramatic, absolutely dramatic. He was totally, totally happy with the results. Now, we are going to go to a break, and then I'm going to bring on two people that are on the HCG diet, and I want you to call in with your questions on anything that you want about possibly weight, possibly hormones. Look, you have this wonderful resource here, and we're here to answer your questions. The number to call, 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. This is Take Charge of Your Health. We're speaking with Carol Peterson, pharmacist, and we'll be right back.
I'm Harry Allen. This is Nonfiction. And Nonfiction is the magazine of the arts, ideas, and fact, airing every Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. over WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Tune in for a wide range of compelling topics, informed guests, and penetrating interviews. That's Fridays, 2 to 3 p.m., Nonfiction over WBAI New York. WBAI.org.
We're the New Orleans Jazz Vipers at WBAI, New York City.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and we're talking about health, nutrition, diet, and HCG, that the diet that's the craze right now, and trying to make some sense of it. And what I've done is I have two people on the line, Denise and Michael Malazzo, who I've been guiding through this diet. And I wanted them to tell you some of their experience on this very low calorie diet. It's about 500 calories. Denise, Michael, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. Welcome. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions so you can give the audience just a little bit of an idea of what you've been going through. You know, how long ago did you learn about this diet?
Well, we've known about it for quite some time.
Yes, I know. And you had to think about it, didn't you, before you made that leap into dealing with it and doing it, didn't you?
At least on my part, I certainly did.
Why?
Reluctant about, taking the shots, and 500 calories doesn't seem like very much when you try and grasp it conceptually.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
So you're a 6 foot tall man, very physical, and you've been on 500 calories.
I have.
Are you hungry?
No.
Whoa. Really?
Not at all.
Not at all. What do you think? Do you feel anxious, or do you feel cravings?
Not really. I mean, I'm in the food industry, the food business. We do we do a lot of catering, at my retail store. And I would say the first 2 weeks, it was very difficult for me not to be grazing, because that's a lifestyle that I fit nicely into. But as the time has passed, it becomes a matter of discipline, and you just, you see the results on a daily basis, and you don't want to break the trend.
What have the results been?
Actually, I was
I celebrated my 36th day on the diet yesterday, and this morning I'm down 38.1 pounds.
Whoa. 1 pound and the 16th a day as a chef.
That's correct.
That's correct. Denise, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm very pleased with the results of the diet. I think the hardest part of the diet was making the decision. And actually, you know, I used to just walk into the house and open the refrigerator just out of habit. And so really the most difficult part was just breaking the habit because I haven't been hungry at all.
You haven't been hungry?
I haven't. You know, there are days when I've been really active, and so I kind of figured out my way of doing it is to I save my fruits for in between meals if I need them, and that gives me the sugar boost that I need. I figured out how to make it work for me, and I really am very pleased. And I've lost 18.3 pounds in 6 weeks.
In 6 weeks. Well, how close is that to your goal?
I actually, this morning, I reached my goal. I actually exceeded my goal by 0.3 of a pound. Yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo! So,
very, very, very pleased.
Have you been on diets before?
Oh, I've been on everything. You name it, I've been on it. I've never really been hugely overweight. This time I was about 20 pounds overweight over what I really wanted to be. I've usually been able to kind of stop it before it gets panic time. But I've been on everything. I've been on the Atkins. I've been on Lindora. I've been on Weight Watchers. I've done detoxes all my life, and I really feel hopeful. I'm 62 years old, and I was starting to feel really old and flabby and fat, and I could barely, you know, I felt like I wasn't moving well enough, and I wasn't happy, and I just feel great now.
I'm going to ask you questions about your husband, and then I'm going to ask your husband questions about you. How's your husband look?
Oh, he looks great. So, you know, he kind of minimized. He's at the store all the time, and he's, like you said, he's in the habit of grazing. And I'm so proud of him because he's really stuck with this, and he's looking terrific and feeling terrific.
Has he done
diets?
He's
proud of himself, and I am too of him.
How does his skin look?
His skin looks really good, really clear. And the good thing about the diet is that it's, you know, for 500 calories, you'd be all flabby and you wouldn't have any muscle mass, but not on this diet. And I feel so good, and I feel like I look good, and he does too, definitely.
Michael.
Yes.
How does your wife look?
She looks marvelous.
Is that the bride you once knew?
Well, let's say that she's got a few pounds to go to get down to that weight, but she looks fabulous.
She looks fat. How about her skin?
You know what? Her skin is a little on the dry side because of the lack of oil, but certainly much more well-toned, much tighter. She looks great.
So is there anything, Carol, would you like to ask them a question?
I would. In Dr. Simeon's original book, he had that you could have a breadstick every day. And I'd like to know, Corinne, if you recommend that and if Denise and Michael have used that. I generally recommend people to leave it alone because of possible gluten insensitivity. And consequently, those people who have gluten insensitivity may be putting on fat because the fat is storing inflammatory markers.
You know, I have been having the breadsticks, but I have them in the morning. I have one in the morning, and I really savor it. because that the starch was kind of my addiction, and but it hasn't. I don't feel affected by it whatsoever. You know, I actually this week I put on my wedding ring that I haven't worn in a while because it was just too small. And so, but I do enjoy having the breadstick in the morning.
I always recommend it unless people are directly wheat reactive. I always recommend it. It helps them. That little bit, you know, you're dealing with 40 calories of Melba toast. So it helps them get through. So the number to call, 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Give me a call. We will answer your questions to the best of our ability. We're talking about different forms of weight loss and the importance of it. And if you're having trouble, if you're getting stuck, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you in relationship to any problems you might be having, anything you might be interested in relating to in terms of hormones and hormone balance. We have Carol Peterson, compounding pharmacist, one of the original, my go-to person, one of the original compounders in the country. So Michael and Denise, is there anything else you'd like to say?
You know, I could just tell your listeners that this is the best diet that I've ever been on. And just as a follow-up, for the past 5+ years, I've been on 2 different kinds of blood pressure medication. And last Friday, I felt a little bit lightheaded, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to check my blood pressure. Well, I mean, I was taking 20 milligrams of just one. The doctor had taken me off of the other medication. And lo and behold, when I took my blood pressure, it was down to 108 over 62. So I decided I'm going to try it without the blood pressure medication. And my blood pressure this morning, after 6 days of monitoring it, is 130 over 70.
Mm.
So, you know, I can't say enough about, you know, the far-reaching benefits that I foresee staying on this diet and then maintaining.
Yeah, the whole thing is maintaining, learning how to eat so that you can eat. You can eat with your family, with your friends, and be healthy. Thanks, Michael and Denise. I really appreciate you sharing with us.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye.
You too. Hi. Hi, you're live. Your name, please?
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you, Carol?
I'm great. great. Listen, I have been listening to your show. I'm home today. I'm cleaning, and I'm listening, and I'm saying, wow, this sounds like me. I'm about 41, and I have a history of, you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome, you know, the classic metabolic syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lost about 40 pounds within the last year by cutting out dairy, by cutting out gluten and such like that. I use a lot of coconut oil. But I've been finding that because of my, you know, addiction to sugar, I've been rationalizing the substitution of sugar with things like agave and coconut sugar. And I find that I can be just as addicted to those things as I can to sugar. And I'm wondering if you can tell me something about that. Is it safe to use? Is it not okay to use? No. Right? Okay.
No.
That's what I thought.
Do you want to take this first? Are we both trying to grab it, Carol?
I was going to say agave and coconut sugar both have a much lower glycemic index than regular sugar does. So you would think that there is some benefit. However, as your caller is just saying, you can still get into trouble with it. It still is a sugar. It's rapidly metabolized,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to make differences in insulin rising and falling. And as the blood sugar falls, you become hungry again.
Yes.
And you begin to crave again.
Yes,
you begin
I do,
to crave.
That's what I noticed.
And you get caught. Right now, this isn't the time to add things back.
Mm-hmm.
This
okay.
is the time to make. You know, I always think of summer. Actually, do you have any more questions? I'm going to ask you to hang up because we're going to go on to the next caller. The number to call 212-209-2900.
About a sweetener. How about stevia?
Wonderful.
Okay, then
but
I'll hang up.
Let
Thank
me.
You very
oh, my pleasure. And I just want to congratulate you on the work you're doing. I think of summer, I always think of summer as downhill. It's like when you're in a race, a life race. And now, and you're going uphill and you're just trying to maintain, trying to keep pace, trying to keep the rhythm. But when you're downhill, it's like a run. You just charge downhill with so much energy and vibrance, and it feels so good. Well, that's what summer's all about. It's all about that. It's all about cucumbers and tomatoes and spinach and lettuce and delicious, fragrant onions and all of these foods that literally, when you eat them, you feel so satisfied. And they're so good for you and so cleansing. Carol?
Oh, I agree. And your caller was asking about stevia.
Oh, yes.
So that's, I don't think it appears on the glycemic index at all, if I recall correctly. Some products you might find a little bitter, but there are products that are quite fine. I was at a conference, I'm trying to remember the name, and I can't, but their particular product tasted quite nice, and it said they said that they were able to achieve that by using only the youngest, tenderest leaves when they were preparing it.
You have to also, though, now, when we're looking at insulin, we're looking at glycemic index, stevia is okay. When we're looking at sweet addiction, be careful with sweets.
Yep,
get your taste buds used to foods without that sweet flavor, right down to your vinegars. Don't use the sweetened rice vinegar. Don't use the balsamic. Use the red wine vinegar. Use vinegars that don't have the sweetness because your taste buds have been overstimulated already, and you want to get them used to it. And so you can even taste the flavors of these wonderful fresh foods. So we're going on to the next caller. Hi, you're live. Your name, please.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, my name is Harry.
Hi, Harry. Welcome.
Yeah, from Mount Vernon.
Hi, Harry from Mount Vernon. How can we help you?
I stopped smoking in the last 9 months.
Yay, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, as I'm trying to be aware of the things that I'm eating, you know, so I'm more or less on a vegetable and fruit foods. But when I eat them, I get such a feeling of being bloated. My midsection is like way off, you know. I went from a mm-hmm. 34 to a 38, you know, that's squeezing a 38, you know. And I'm trying to find out how to get this bloatness out of my system.
Well, there's a couple of things that I can suggest, but I got immediately when you told me what you're eating, a big red flag comes up. You're not eating proteins. See, there are essential foods. Essential.
Yes.
And those are essential fats
uh-huh.
and proteins. Carbohydrates, our body can make them. Not saying that I don't want you to eat spinach. I don't want you to eat kale and broccoli. They have wonderful properties. But understand that we need to create a balance. You're a man. You got muscle mass. Our hormones are made out of cholesterol and protein. You know, you need all of that to be able to maintain your immunity and your muscle mass. Carol, what do you think about this?
Well, I was just thinking about a tip, and I read this in a book was written by a man who had trouble with candida. when I hear bloating, I think candida immediately. And the candida diet really restricts you from all fruit, because when that overgrowth is occurring, it very easily grows much faster when you feed it. One of the things he wrote about, and I like this tip, was he would have a couple of tablespoons of coconut oil.
Oh, wonderful.
To satisfy his cravings when he was in this. It was really difficult for him to restrict all that fruit. Your caller here might not be at the danger point this writer was, but it's a good thing to put in there. The fat is very satisfying.
Whenever we deal with fat, it's very, very satisfying. You know, they take yogurt, whole milk, they ferment it, they remove 10 calories of fat, then add as much sugar as a Coca-Cola and fruit, and call it heart healthy.
Oh, boy.
But, always go for the full fat plain yogurt.
Full fat plain fermented.
I've been
fermented.
Eating a lot of dark green vegetables.
Wonderful.
Also, you know.
Wonderful.
Especially, you know, the collard greens, you know, with the smoked turkey that's in it. But like I said, you know, I usually stay on one meal a day, to tell you the truth, you know.
That's another thing that can be a problem, one meal a day. Yeah, see, your body, well then, when you're eating one meal a day, your body goes into starvation mode. When you're eating, that's what sumo wrestlers do. They eat one meal a day.
Oh, boy.
I
don't feel hungry.
Yeah, because you're trained out of feeling hungry. And I'm not saying I want you to eat three giant meals a day, but I want you to eat a little bit of protein three times a day. And that can be animal or plant-based or a combination thereof, of the three, of the two. And what happens is then your body, you might see a difference, first of all, in your in some of your bloating. Even just small meals. When you eat one meal a day, you eat a big meal. You know, the heaviest people that I walk into my office, they always skip meals. They generally don't start eating till around 4 o'clock, and then they can't stop.
No, well, I don't have that problem, you know.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
We've come to the end of the hour. I really want to thank you. Thank you for your call. I'm going to have to say goodbye to my guest. And we're going to have to go on. Carol.
Yes, Corinne.
Okay, Carol Peterson, pharmacist, compounder, my go-to person. What a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure being here. And what a wonderful story from your two individuals who are on the diet right now.
Yeah, because it's a very interesting story, because one, we have a very large, very tall, large man who's been on every diet you can name, and his wife who's, you know, 5'2", and they're on it together, eating together, and their success rate is appropriate to their body size, and they're both not hungry. Hello? HCG is quite a miracle as it resets the brain.
I think maybe in another show, Corinne, you could talk a little bit more about how to maintain that and what you do with your coaching for people to maintain their losses.
Oh, it's essential, because you literally relearn how to eat without the constant forever hunger, which people who are heavy have constant forever hunger. And they eat and they never feel satisfied. They could eat another meal right after this and they never feel satisfied. Carol, it's really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And I really would like you to come back and we could talk with more of the listeners and see what we can explore.
Okay, sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, sweetie. This has been Take Charge of Your Health. I'm Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant, and we have been talking a lot about weight loss, balance, energy, our bodies, how to work with our bodies in a way to that's appropriate to get the responses that we want, that we're expecting. I think what we're doing is we're following myths. I think that these myths are perpetuated. They're perpetuated by nutritionists who are telling us to eat carbs and no fats. They're perpetuated by the media who's telling us in The Big Loser to lose all this weight. And if you've lost less than 13 pounds in the week, you're kicked off the show. Hello? You know? And these myths are perpetuated and give us unrealistic relationships to our body. And we are following these rules, and these rules aren't working. So I want to thank you so much for sharing this time with us. And my contact number and my Facebook. My Facebook is Corinne Furnari, RPACCNFURNARI. And my office number, 212-586-2100. This is Take Charge of Your Health. And thank you so much for spending this time with me. Bye-bye.